Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, Dick's Med Bubba. David Draymond's here tonight from Disturbed, who is, I'll tell you the most disturbing thing about Disturbed, they haven't been here for 3 years, and it felt like 3 months to me.
Absolutely. That is disturbing.
That's one of those, it's one of those Hallmark, you're getting old things, when it's like, little Timmy, what, oh my goodness.
You shut up.
You have pubic hair. Good
you're
Lord.
You're such a tall young lady.
Yeah. Well, it was a dude, but true.
I'm just saying.
I said pubes. You went to chicks. All right. Good to see you, David.
Good to see you guys.
I can't believe it. I haven't been to the new studio. It's not been here since we moved. Disturbed, who's going out on the Jägermeister tour, which is a hell of a lot better than the Tab tour. If you're picking tours to sponsor, go Jaeger. You know what I mean?
Yes.
10,000 Fists, name of the CD, came out a couple of weeks back, and it was number one SoundScan first week out. I don't know what that means, but it's better than being, hell of a lot better than being number 10, or not even charting. Yeah, what is SoundScan?
SoundScan is the agency that reports all of the records that are sold every week.
Number one,
so it was
first
the number
week
one
out.
Selling record first week.
That is awesome. Drew is gesturing over to Marcus because my TLC show, the Adam Carolla Project, premieres tonight, 10 o'clock. Now, you shouldn't turn this radio show off.
Just watch it.
You should turn that show on, though, or TiVo it or something. Yeah. I think you enjoy it.
Show out on the love.
A little documentary-style home improvement show. The band is out and going out, and what the hell else? Well, talk to me. How's Chicago? What's going on? Big Sox win. Sox over Sox.
Chicago's good. We don't get to spend much time there. We've been just crazy busy. We're about to head out to Europe, do a little bit of touring in the UK. We got our first date, actually, in Ireland. We're really excited about going to Dublin. Got a couple days in Amsterdam because he can't go to Europe without spending a little bit of time in Amsterdam. And,
Adam's never been to Amsterdam.
Never been to Amsterdam.
Oh, you would like that town, yeah.
How different? Well, we know how different Europe may be culturally, but how different is it to play in front of? Is it a different vibe? Does it feel different?
If you woke up on stage,
would you know you weren't in New York or weren't in Chicago and in Amsterdam or Germany?
The vibe is different. The energy is different. And there's a tangible difference between Germany and the UK, for instance.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is the difference?
It's kind of like the difference between playing Chicago or playing New York or
LA. We don't
LA.
Get to do that, so we don't know what the difference is.
The difference is like this. New York or LA are two of these cities that have seen it all. They get every single act in the world.
Right.
Everything
so
comes
it's hard to get
them
excited.
So they all kind of stand there with their arms crossed, and they look at you, and they judge, and like, come on, show me something.
Right.
And, you know, you go to the Midwest.
Is that Germany?
That would be more Germany. Yeah.
Right.
And the UK, the fans are rabid. I love playing shows in the UK.
But now, the UK has...
I love playing shows in Germany, too. When you say UK... You got to fight for it.
Are you talking about London or are you talking about Glasgow?
I prefer Manchester, Glasgow, places like that. I mean, London is always good, too, but it's those towns that don't get it quite as much that the crowds are just way more ferocious.
Well, we used to go out and do these college tours, and... It's true, when you went to, well, first off, it's even hard just to get cities, you know, I'd always say, what about UCLA or UC Riverside or something? What about something in town? What about USC? What about something that
nearby.
I can drive to instead of get on a seaplane and a sea turtle to get to? And it'd be like, you do that show and you get 500 people and they're sitting there sort of talking on their cell phones. And then you go out, you go deep. You go, where'd we go in DeKalb, Illinois?
DeKalb was still near an airport. We were going into Waterloo, Iowa. I'll remind you of that one.
You get 3,000 crazy people starving.
Wisconsin.
And it's sort of like, I guess, L.A., New York, and maybe now Germany. They're like the hot chick at the party. You buy them a drink, big deal. Right. You know what I mean? But Iowa, that's the fat chick at the party. You buy her drink. It's BJ City. Yes, Drew?
Yes. I don't know, brother.
I'm watching Adam Shover. Is that Karen Mizrahi?
Yeah, that's...
Your realtor?
Yeah, my realtor, who was my good buddy Don's mom, who I grew up raiding her refrigerator. You know, the whole thing about this TLC show is everybody I worked with was everybody I worked with before I was in show business.
Everybody we have to hear about.
All the guys I swung a hammer with and all that.
The guys that brought you stool and a hat and a sock hat.
Well, my buddy Ray, on the show when I was about, I think it was about 13, I lent him my Rams beanie, my beloved long, you know, remember those old sock wool beanies that have the football insignia of the team on the front?
Yeah, I still have those. Yeah.
But these were long.
Oh, yeah, long.
And they'd have that ball.
That's the crazy ski hat.
That's the crazy ski hat with the ball on the end. Yeah. I said, Ray, I'm going to need that beanie back. He said, let me go get it. He came back out and handed it to me like a lunch bag. I was like, what is this? Oh, he'd taken a crap in it. Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. 13. That's what you do. Take your crap and your buddy.
Well, that's what your buddy's doing.
What kind of guy borrows a beanie and then takes a dump in it when he hands it back to you? It's not like he was angry. It's not like I'd done something to his beanie. You understand? That was just considered good times. Good times. I don't know, David, if you grew up with these kind of guys.
My friends were not crapping on my head.
Really?
They were doing other things.
You dodged a bullet.
Yeah, a couple, two, three
blessed.
Of them, actually. Yeah.
Drew, you grew up with guys that abused you, right?
Not like that. Not
oh, really?
Close. There's the tip, you know, there's the verbal abuse and the sort of physical jousting.
But you never had
Ray is not human.
Right, okay. All right, but you didn't grow up with guys that beat the crap out of you constantly and did horrible things to you?
I didn't grow up with guys that urinated regularly on me.
Really?
And not only did you had a special name for it.
Like, really?
Yeah. Didn't crap in my stuff.
Wow.
Didn't have sex in my bed with other people.
Wow.
Didn't steal my ass.
I didn't
have those guys.
I'll tell you one of the greatest examples of my buddies.
Didn't get run over.
Once I was babysitting with my buddy Ray, and my mom was a health food nut, so when I babysat, I just went and raped the pantry. I would open pie filling, dump it in a bowl, put mini marshmallows in it, put some Toll House morsels, and just start spooning it in my face
and go to
like
town.
A heroin addict. Like I would just go nuts. That's what happens when you take a 12, 13 year old kid and you tell him, look, you're not going to be eating any sugar-coated shredded wheat over here. Well,
You're not going to have any shredded wheat.
Here, chew this cud.
Yeah.
The kid just goes to the neighbor's house and opens the pie filling and starts mainlining it. So we decided to roast some marshmallows over the stove. And you ever see a marshmallow when it actually lights on fire? It
gets a little charcoal.
Yeah. It actually, it burns.
Yeah, it gets to be like
a torch.
Like a torch in an old movie.
Yeah, it burns like an old torch. Yeah. And once I got it up on the skewer and it was completely engulfed in flames and I looked like a torch. I said, oh, look, everybody, it's Adam the Great. And I started doing this fire eater routine and Ray whacked my elbow and the flaming marshmallow stuck to the side of my face. No feeling quite like the flaming marshmallow stuck to the side of your face.
It's like a
huge blister. Looks like I got some kind of venereal disease.
It's like some sort of.
Do you know what it does to your face when you take a flaming marshmallow and stick it to
your
face?
It's like it didn't erode right through your cheek.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right, let's take some phone calls. Drew, are you happy you broke the disturbed jewel box?
Yeah, I'm good. When I mess with stuff and it breaks, it's good.
But you understand...
I'm in full throttle then.
Drew is normally sort of clumsy. He's like got two lobster claws instead of hands.
Yeah,
he bangs
flippers.
Into...
Flippers.
He's got flippers. He bangs into the mic. He uses the mug as a weapon. Yeah. Most people use a mug just to hold a warm beverage. Drew picks a mug up and starts banging on the mic. He smacks it around. There's no control over his extremities.
My hands, yeah.
But now you've taken it to a new level where you're sort of like Jaime the Robot or Frankenstein or something. You just start crushing things. You don't know your own strength. You're going to shake some kid's hand and just hear bones cracking.
I think it was mostly I was so excited that you let me fidget.
I know.
I got excited and broke
it. I know, but then you broke it. See what happens? All right, hold on. Let me try this. Oh, we got a phone problem here?
No, we got a huge phone problem. Okay.
We do?
We're going to start this over again here.
How do you know we have a huge phone problem?
Because it says no carrier up here, which means we're disconnected.
Oh, all right. Well, David... Let me tell you this. I don't know if you care, but your White Sox beat the Sox, the other Sox today.
Yeah, probably upset my tour manager pretty bad.
Oh, he's a Red Sox guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an ass full of all talk that is New England sports, by the way, and especially Red Sox, and especially baseball in general, just bleeding into my beloved football season. That's enough.
Football's going to be good this year.
Football's good, but here's the thing about baseball. 100 games. Decide after 100 games, not 163.
Let's just admit, baseball's not about the games. It's about sitting outside in the summer.
It's about people just getting loaded out in the stands and hanging out.
Yeah. Let's face it.
And just cutting school and playing hooky from work. Well, all I'm saying is I don't need this. Here's the way I'd like to establish my my life. I would like one season to end and the other one to begin.
It used to be that. That was the whole deal.
The part where it bleeds into the next part is just confusing. Now I'm just watching football on the infield of a baseball diamond.
Maybe a little-known fact, but I live at college near Springfield, Massachusetts, where basketball was invented. And it was invented by...
I thought it was invented in Indiana.
It was invented by a Christian organization to try to give young men activities during the wintertime when there were no sports. Indoor sports during the winter.
Right.
There was nothing for them to do, so they invented the game.
Is that 100 years ago?
I don't know when.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
You ready to rock?
Kay. 28.
Let's try it. Okay. Kay, you're 28.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I have a problem. Not, I don't have a problem. My boyfriend, I guess, I think it's a problem. Anyway, he's 30, and I asked him, we've been together for almost 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him to kind of vibrate in front of me or whatnot, you know, masturbate in front of me.
Vibrate.
And he would never do it.
Interesting. Yeah, vibrate in front of you.
Hmm. What would you do? What did you want to do when he was doing that?
I was actually, you know, masturbating myself.
Oh, so this is mutual masturbation.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, and he was kind of...
Well, I just want to say this. It's a totally different thing that if you're just standing there in slacks... And a blazer, and you tell the guy to beat off in front of you, that's weird. But if you're getting into it, too, that's a different situation.
Right. The meaning.
Right.
Yeah, definitely getting into it, too. But I asked him to show me, you know, I guess, how he does it or whatnot.
Hang on a second, Kay. Hang on a second, Kay. Watch Adams. I see where you got those ferocious guns, those arms.
Oh, my dad and the skinny arms. Yeah. Pops, yeah. Yeah, never did play any high school ball. Pop.
I'm shocked. You're kidding me.
Thank you.
No way.
Now you realize what a great athlete I actually am.
That's what I was saying.
You see how far I hit a softball, right?
Oh, my God.
Look what I had to overcome.
Oh, my God.
Look at my dad. He's like built like a woman with no breasts. If he had breasts, he'd have a nicer build. Yeah.
A woman made of stick.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Hurdles to overcome. All right, go ahead, Kay.
Okay, so anyway, I asked him to, show
this.
Me how he does it or whatever. And he was kind of scared at first to do it. And then he actually showed me, and I just kind of got freaked out because I have never heard of anybody doing it the way he does it.
I wonder how often.
Like a pillow down and put his penis in between two pillows or something soft and like act like he's humping something.
Yeah,
but the
guys
thing
is
we haven't had sex for like 6 months, so I have no idea what's going on.
Apparently he's getting a little bit more friendly with the pillow than you.
Yeah, but they got a new sofa, and you know he's breaking it.
It's weird that he would share that part of his behavior with you. But guys,
well, here's the whole thing. Like, let me just give guys a tip. If the way you masturbate is by putting a corn cob up your ass, licking one finger, rubbing your nipple, and crying, don't do that one in front of the old lady. Do the straight ahead one. Give her the textbook style.
Right,
you know, what do I do? Well, I close my eyes, I shut the lights off, I don't look at any pornography, and I, you know, slowly and tastefully diddle myself. Why? I think of you. Why? That's how I do it. What do you want? Don't do the weird ass crap that you would do when she's out of the room.
You're right.
Humping the pillow.
So there's a couple of interesting things here. One is that there are guys that do that pump things and stuff. They try to simulate sex. I mean, young guys do that. I'm at 20, guys in the late 20s. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, maybe it's something to do with, I don't know, his childhood or...
No. B, why haven't you had sex in 6 months?
Because he said he doesn't feel confident with himself or something. Like, he used to be bigger. He used to work out a lot and this and that and... It's really frustrating because
something's weird,
breaking point where I'm just like, I'm either going to get out of the relationship because I can't handle it.
You might want to try making him feel confident.
Well,
you might want to try putting him in the right,
he doesn't like blowjobs or anything.
Oh.
It's
Listen.
A man who doesn't like blowjobs, I have no understanding of whatsoever. It makes no sense to me.
We are doing a silent high five, David and I, from across.
Was that silent when you leap across the table like that?
Thank God.
You might as well commit him right now. I mean, there's no sense in that. There's something very wrong with him if he doesn't like a blowjob.
Kay, do you have children together?
No, I do not.
Good. All right. I say it's time to cut your losses.
Yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, we live together, I mean, I own my own business.
How often do you think when that mutual masturbation thing that's not for the purposes of safe sex or saving oneself, it's just an exploration, how often do you figure that's brought up by a woman as opposed to the man?
2% of the time or less.
The guy?
No, the woman.
The woman.
Oh, that's not true.
I don't think the woman brings it up.
Oh, sure,
I don't think
it's
a man's idea. Man doesn't even I don't think it's a man's notion.
Well, here's...
I'm going to stand here and you watch. Huh?
Oh, the mutual masturbation
as an exploration, not as something to maintain virginity or that kind of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, just it's something you might discuss as a plan B or C. Like, okay, I'm not getting laid. I'm not getting a BJ. How about this?
No,
would this be okay with your God? Or your dad?
About somebody who is sexually active? Goes, something I've always wanted to do is, you stand over here, I'll stand over here, we'll shine bright lights on each other. How do you figure out a guy is going to come up with that one?
No, not zero. Not if he has a zero, right?
But it's always like zero. A good precursor.
No, but I think women sometimes have a fantasy foreplay. Sometimes. I don't know what it is or why.
All right, here's the deal. She seems like she's doing fine. He's not interested in BJs. He's not interested in her. He's not interested in anything.
All right.
She thinks here's the problem. We've discussed this all the time. She's been in this for 2 years. She figures like it's going to be wasting her time. No, don't waste any more time.
Yeah.
Look, it's a bad relationship is no different than a bad job. Because you've got 2 years invested is all the more reason to get out tomorrow.
Right. Don't waste another minute.
Not invest another 2 years or 5 years or what then turns into a lifetime.
Here.
Katrina, huzzah. That's what
huzzah.
I say to you.
Huzzah.
Katrina?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yes, I'm 25.
What's up?
Okay, I have a dilemma, and I need you to listen to me for a minute. Okay, I have a little bit of a backstory and stuff. Okay,
I almost hung up.
I'm 25. I have a bachelor's in psychology. I work in a mental health field where I deal with people with schizophrenia all day. I got to a point where I just couldn't handle it anymore, so I recently tried to commit suicide. While I was in a mental, or what do you call it, an inpatient facility, I met a young man who was 18. He had also tried to commit suicide. Okay. Well, we kind of formed a friendship. And we corresponded through email for a couple of weeks. And then we met and got together. And, you know, it's just like we just bonded. And made this great friendship.
What is your question? I get the picture. What's the question?
Okay. He's 18.
What's the question?
What's the question? Okay.
Well, here, let me just give everyone a tip who's calling Loveline. When we say, all right, we've heard enough. What's the question? Okay. Do not go ahead and repeat something you said 26 seconds ago.
You got to understand, we've heard everything. I get, you paint, you sketch it, we fill it all in.
He's 18, I'm 25, we've been corresponding via email. We've been going on for some time now.
And you met in treatment?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've been going on for some time now, and we've been carrying on back and forth.
All right, what's your question?
He's 18. Okay, got it. All right, well, we're done
check,
then.
Check.
All right, he's 18. Katrina.
Yes.
What's your question?
Other than him being
18.
Okay. We both have very overprotective parents. Mm-hmm. He, I don't know. I just don't know if I'm doing something wrong.
Yes, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong, and it's not about his age. Even if he were 25, this is a horrible circumstance for a relationship. Two sick people make for trouble. When you meet somebody in treatment, you do not know who they are. All you know is that they're ill. And the staff is unable to tell you, because of confidentiality issues, whether this person has schizophrenia, HIV, is a murderer, who the hell knows. But you know that you're sick and trying to get better, and two people trying to get better who are sick is really, essentially impossible. So you're putting a huge anchor around your neck, and you're keeping yourself down. That's it. Now, you can get well, get focus on your treatment, get going. Don't look for a life preserver in a relationship. Relationships take people out in the first year of recovery from mental illness issues.
All right. Katrina, there you go.
Okay? But, and then the age thing on top of that's not a great deal. Not good for him or you.
But it's just...
All right, whatever.
Well,
do your thing,
baby.
Do what you want, Katrina.
Not the answer she wanted to hear.
I know
you
want to hear that, but that's fine. You're not going to convince me of otherwise. I've dealt with thousands of people in situations like this.
Yeah, but it's
a catastrophe. I know this is you.
Know her.
This
She's
is Katrina.
Special.
It's a special thing.
Right.
You need to get well completely before you get into a relationship, and certainly not in a relationship with somebody else who's also trying to get well. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, then, baby doll. Feel free not to listen to Drew or do any of that.
Do whatever you want. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's not going to do it.
Whatever. That's up to her. But you're not going to persuade me that there's some reason. There's just no reason that it would be a good idea.
People act like you're holding a big rubber okay stamp that you can put on their forehead, and then they could move on with their life.
Oh, why don't you say so? Oh, he's 18. Oh, I didn't get that.
Stamp him.
Done.
There we go. All right, let's hear a song from Disturbed, shall we?
Perfect.
I think that's going to work. Off of 10,000 Fists. Oh, what is the name of the song? Here it is.
Stricken.
Yeah, Disturbed. Nice hard out. 10,000 Fists, name of the CD. Well, nothing, just a number one sound scan first week. We'll, David here from the band, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. There, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. David's in here tonight from Disturbed, 10,000 Fists, name of the CD, and we'll hear something else off it as the night wears on. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Can we talk to Richard?
Yep.
Richard is 21, just had sex with a girl who has a warts.
Uh-huh.
Richard?
Yeah. Yes.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
I literally just slept with a girl 3 hours ago, and during the whole cuddling session, she decided to tell me she has HPV.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that would put her, let's see, were you in Phoenix or Tucson?
Phoenix.
All right, so basically half the young ladies walking around that town have this, so there you go.
Right.
I understand you guys want a pretty little sketch. What the hell is it?
What did you just say?
You want a pretty little sketch?
I've called my buddies, nobody's ever heard of HPV.
It's human papillomavirus. Most people have it. It's a cause of cervical cancer. It causes warts. And if you're going to be sexually active, you're going to be exposed to this.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, pretty little sketch?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I met her 3 days ago. I slept with her tonight. What?
Bogus.
Sounds like he's just nervous.
Yeah, sounds bogus.
He's full of crap.
Sounds
he's
bogus.
A horrible actor.
Yeah.
God, you're bad, Richard. Richard. Please, or may I call you Dick?
Call me Dick. That's what everybody
Please
else does.
Do not come to Los Angeles and attempt to ply your horrible trade, because you are a...
I'm going to Phoenix Thursday.
Listen, I rarely say this. You are a
Stay
worse...
Away from the
I don't want to avoid Richard. I may not go. I might run into Richard.
You're a worse actor than Keanu Reeves. You understand me?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you're horrible, buddy. All right, next time, do better, would you? Okay.
All right.
It's a bogus call.
All right, but I'll give you a little primer here. And the HPV is human papillomavirus.
Richard doesn't have it.
Nobody cuddles and says they have it afterward.
Right.
It's all BS.
You the next day.
I mean, he could have gone online and had all his questions answered.
Right.
Human papillomavirus is something that's exceedingly common, particularly in urban environments and young people. It's one of the big sort of concerns people have in terms of sexually transmitted diseases, because it's not all that clearly blocked by condoms. It's a hard one to block with condoms.
It isn't?
It is. It's helped with circumcision, too. It's a help, but it's not. It's a hard one to really protect yourself
from. Why doesn't the condom do it?
Because the fluids get around the base and stuff. You know, can touch the skin, and the virus comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes certain of the subtypes of the virus, the ones that particularly are persistent, meaning they don't sort of recede upon their own, will cause cervical cancer in women. It can also cause anal cancer in people that are loving or engaging in that loving activity.
Awesome time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good time to
anal cancer. That's a good hardcore band right there.
Anal cancer.
Yeah. Write that down. You may produce anal cancer.
I'm sure somebody thought of that. If they haven't.
Russell? Russell?
Yeah?
19?
Yeah.
You got a question for David?
Yeah, I just thought, I just bought the 10,000 Fist CD. Awesome CD, by the way.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
And I was just wondering, what was the inspiration for it?
You know, this record was probably the most difficult of the three to make. From an inspiration standpoint, the themes on this record kind of go all over the place.
Why was it difficult to make, or more so difficult to make?
You know, you're constantly challenged with each successive record that you make to outdo yourself or to continue to try and bring something new to the table and something fresh. And, you know, the further down the road you go, the more difficult that becomes. And this record seemed to fuse the elements of the first two records and kind of inject them with steroids, if you will. It's probably our most aggressive of the three still retains a lot of the melodic elements from the second record, as well as fusing it with the aggression and the darkness that the first record had. And we're very, very proud of it. Thematically, the whole idea of 10,000 fists is one of the iconic imagery behind that symbol of the closed fist, which is one of strength and unity and defiance and rebellion. And as far as I know, those are the things upon which rock and roll and heavy metal were founded. So we're just trying to stay true to that.
Hey, Russell.
Yeah?
You in a band?
No. I used to play guitar for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends kind of borrowed it and broke the neck.
What are you doing now?
I'm actually working at a Dodge dealership.
Dodge?
Dodge dealership. Yeah. I thought you said dog.
That's what I thought, too.
What do you do?
Just a detailer right now, hoping to move up.
All right, that's a car washer. Yeah. All right, brother, stay with it.
Yeah, I'm personally on a Honda.
Okay, that's good. I hope your boss is listening.
Yeah, I heard sure you love that.
Thanks for the compliment, brother.
Let me give everybody a quick tip for life. If your grades weren't too great in high school and the band's not working out and the stand-up's not working out, and you get a gig at a Dodge dealer, keep it. Don't piss off your boss by telling him you drive a Honda. But I mean,
That Tourette's that people have. That's the same Tourette's that people have with our show.
Right.
They call in and go, I really hate you guys' show. I can't listen anymore. But anyway, so.
Right.
Good naturedly.
Well, you know that thing where people are, you get to a job or you get to a place. Like, I remember when I used to have crappy jobs, I'd get to a job and I'd be like, how is this a-hole my supervisor? I'll tell you how. He got there first, and he didn't piss anyone off, and he hung out for 5 years.
More than
and now,
not pissing off, you kiss a little butt.
Kiss a little butt. Now he's the supervisor. That's how it works. Yeah. So stay with it. And here's the thing. If you bounce from job to job to job to job, you just start as the goomper in every job. And then some people work their way up to glorified goomper, and then they quit and go back to goomper at the next game.
I heard somebody just describe it once as, you don't drill for oil by drilling a hole for a few feet and another hole and another hole and another hole. You
pick a spot
and you dig.
And keep going.
And you dig.
That's true. That's good.
Thank you.
Now,
well,
I know
it wasn't
it's
mine.
No, of course, it's not yours, but just the fact that you would belch up something that was halfway decent that someone
crazy.
Else said is a huge step
huge.
In the right direction. That is awesome,
your
buddy.
Protege.
Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yeah.
You're addicted to Vicodin?
Oh. Yeah, I've been taking Vicodin for almost 3.5 years.
Oh.
And I've known that I've had a problem with it for like the last probably, year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I stop taking them, it's, if I run out, pretty much that's the way it goes.
How much do you take a day?
Anywhere from 10 to 12 ESs a day.
All right. Wow. What's your question?
10 or 12 what?
ESs, extra strength.
Extra strength. How many milligrams is that?
7.5.
Does it make 5 milligrams?
Do they make, how many different ones do they make?
Vicodin, the ES is basically a Tylenol. The ES is more Tylenol.
That's it.
The Norco is the one that comes in higher strengths. You get 7.5 milligrams in those 10s.
All right. So what's the plan?
What's the question?
I've recently, I really want to stop taking them because, I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, Melissa, you have to be treated. You have to get treatment. And what are you going to do?
And I've checked into those things, and I don't have medical insurance. And most of them are anywhere from, $3,000 to $4,000 a week.
Right. Well, most of these places have county beds. And you call them, call around, call Irvine, UC Irvine, call the county facilities. See where
there's a waiting list for those?
There's a waiting list for those, but get on the waiting list, and that's it. In the meantime, get ready, because you're not going to be able to detox on your own. You're going to need to be medically supervised. It just doesn't
that's
work.
That's the problem is, today I don't have any, and so I need to figure out where I can go and what I can do. Because
Why don't you, who was prescribing it for you in the first place?
Well, it started out as my regular MD.
Well, why don't you go to your regular MD and say, I am addicted now. I'm trying to get into a program.
Yeah.
I don't want to try to detox on my own here. Let's just keep me, maybe try to taper me down a little bit, but it really doesn't work very well to do that.
Why did you start taking them in the first place, out of curiosity?
People on the street.
Did you have a back injury or something?
No, I have polycystic ovarian disease and endometriosis.
So she had pelvic pain.
Okay.
Let me translate.
Okay. Sexually abused.
Yeah.
Who sexually abused you?
several people, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the translation of the pelvic pain.
Yeah. If it's pelvic pain with opiate addiction, you know that that's sexual abuse. That's no doubt.
It's easy. All right, baby. Take care of yourself now.
You're gonna need to set aside some time, like 3 to 6 months, and really focus on your treatment.
Drew, let me ask you this. What if I was addicted to Vicodin and I couldn't get any?
Yeah.
And I couldn't get into a bed.
Yep.
How about drinking that night?
Yeah, you know, I don't
better
wanna,
nothing.
I don't want to give people instructions on this, but yes, people will use.
I'm going to do it anyway.
You can use alcohol and marijuana to block the opiate withdrawal syndrome.
I mean, something to take the edge off,
yes,
right?
Yes. It will both. Marijuana in most addicts and alcohol as well has a very powerful opioid effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually can saturate the opiate receptors if you use it enough of it and that sort of thing.
Right.
And so it is actually biologically just doing the same thing.
Well,
different mechanism.
You're not encouraging people to go out and rob a liquor store. But what I'm saying is if you're strung out on Vicodin and all of a sudden you can't get any and you're crawling up the wall one night and you got the cold sweats, pour yourself some booze.
You should be aware that Dr. Freud believed he had discovered the treatment for heroin addiction.
Which was?
Alkalized cocaine.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it wasn't until...
Did you give me that?
Yeah. It wasn't until his friend...
What's alkalized?
That's cocaine, as you know.
Cocaine. All right.
And as his...
I know it.
It wasn't until his friend became severely strung out on cocaine that he kind of backed away from
it. I know it's snow, by the way, because I'm an 80s guy.
Don't do it.
Yeah, white lines, yeah.
Anderson, come on.
Push wraps up.
Come on.
All right, let's take a little break. David here from Disturbed. When we come back, ex-girlfriend.
What does he call it in that rap song?
It's like
he has a bunch of
nose candy and snow and... Pure as the driven snow. But he tells you all the names.
Yeah. Come on, Anderson.
I'll go look for that.
Thank you.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Now that your show's almost over, do you think Ray could finally be a guest on the show?
Let's
get Ray in here tomorrow.
Ray. Wow. Well, we'll have to see.
The yarns he could weave.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. If you guys watch the Adam Carolla Project on TLC and make it successful, then we'll have justification to bring Ray.
Ray insists that he was there in the early years and that all of Adam's perceptions of how things went down are distorted. He's going to set the record straight.
It seems like Ray's on the show more than you, Carolla.
He's there. All right, thanks, Anderson. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. David here from Disturbed tonight. 10,000 Fists. Name of the CD. In the second hour. And we're going to speak to Dave. Ex-girlfriend dumped him and hooked up with other girls. Dave?
Hey.
What's up?
Yeah, they're just all pretty much dumping me for other girls.
Yeah, bogus.
And that's what I'm writing down.
Yeah.
Writing down bogus. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
We really don't buy it.
It just doesn't sound, doesn't ring true for us.
Yeah, bogus.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry, buddy. What do you mean, come on? You got to do a better job of selling it.
Believe me, this sucks.
All right, how many times?
What do you care?
She's dumped you. How many times has this happened?
Like six, and it just like keeps
every
on
time. Every
keeps
time
dumping you for chicks.
Same girl or six different girls?
Like the same girl twice, and like the other four is just the same way.
So now they're involved in monogamous lesbian relationships. Each of these six women.
Well, like they left me for other chicks, and then they just like go with those chicks for like a month or two, and then they just leave them and go out with some other dude.
You have a bad habit of turning girls to the dark side, my friend.
It's 17. It's a bogus call.
Of course. Are you abusive to the guys? The girls, rather?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm nothing but nice. It's just either they leave me for other chicks or they're just like, oh, I don't know what I want, and just like leave me, I don't understand.
Yeah, let's put one of them left you for a girl and the other five left you because they wanted to leave you.
Yeah.
You just have to try and figure out a way to get these girls who are trying to leave you for other chicks to just try and get the other chick involved with you as well. Let's get everybody to play nice together.
And here's the deal. At 17, you're supposed to break up. You're supposed to have a relationship, try it out.
Nah, I don't believe it anyway.
I know. And you break up. But they all, when you really examine it, they all didn't leave you for other girls. So.
All right. That's bogus. Let's talk to Laurel, who's 23. Laurel?
Yeah.
What's up? I like that name, Laurel.
Yeah.
You don't hear it that often. It's nice. Huh? I don't know, but it's not. It doesn't sound great. It's just a nice name for a chick. Mm-hmm. Laurel. Yeah, what's up?
It's kind of unusual. I'm 23, and I'm 8 months pregnant with a girl. And I'm not with her dad, but he does want to have a relationship with her after she's born.
Okay.
And he loves looking at internet porn of teenage girls.
Uh-oh.
And so my question is...
Mazel tov. Is he a Jewish guy? I'm guessing he's a Jew.
Why you got to go there?
This is what Jewish guys do. They don't have anything to do with their kids.
Adam's never on
the internet.
Never.
I know. You're calling from Seattle. He's got to be a Jewish guy, right?
No, I don't think he is.
What?
I don't believe it.
How could that be?
Never been wrong.
I think he's Swedish or something like that.
I'm certain he referred to it as a mitzvah when they got pregnant.
Yeah. All right. So he wants to look at... He likes internet porn.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't like you.
No.
But the internet porn's of teens. So yes, and so your question is...
giving birth to a daughter.
Should you have her around him?
My question is, what are the chances
on your show?
That he would ever hurt her or hurt one of her friends?
What's the probability? We have no way of knowing. We're suspicious.
Well,
I definitely would not... First of all, he's not looking at little girls, which is
right. Nice.
I would still not leave him alone with the kid, necessarily. If you
well, the good
that.
News is this guy's going to be long gone by her third birthday.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Nice job, Laurel.
Thanks.
Yeah, sweet. Where's your dad?
He's still here, actually.
Huh?
My parents are still married.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Your biological parents?
Yeah, my biological parents are still married.
What happened?
I've been married for like 35 years or something.
Does not compute.
What's missing?
Fill us in here. Why does this story not compute for us?
I don't know. This is the kind of guy that I've always gone for, but I don't know exactly why, because I definitely wasn't sexually abused or abandoned or anything like that.
You know, I'm going a totally different direction with Laurel. I'm going like totally spoiled.
Mm.
Totally spoiled, and really you can't tell her no to anything. And so when she went to her bad boy phase, it just, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Laurel, does that kind of fit with you?
I don't know.
What do your parents do for a living?
Well, my mom's a nurse, and my dad
How many stuffed animals do you have on your bed?
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
That's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah. I mean,
700 in the room. None of them are on the bed.
Right. Could be.
Well, there's some in the nursery, but there's none in my room.
All right. What do your dad do for a living?
My dad does, he is self-employed, and he does, like, freelance editing, proofreading stuff.
All right. I knew it, Drew. It's all coming together now. Self-employed. Proofreader.
But did you have sort of free
reign? Heard it a thousand times. Nobody, so sad.
Nobody ever said no to you? I mean, sure, you felt like they did, but I mean, were you sort of spoiled growing up?
Well, I definitely, I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but we weren't poor.
No, I don't mean in the sense that you were given lots of stuff.
Look, here's the thing.
No sense, nobody ever said no to you. And so
everyone, please stop having kids with crappy fathers who you're scared to then leave the kid with. I mean, you know, everyone thinks it's a reflection on the guy. It's a reflection on you, too. It's like, I'm pregnant, and I got this guy's seed in me, and I got a kid coming out in a month. The problem is, he's a pedophile, and he's a junkie, but he wants joint custody of the kid. Like, no, the problem is he put his dork in you 9 months ago. That's right. The problem.
You thought it was a good idea for that guy.
You thought it would be a great idea for that guy to get in you and not wear a condom. That's the genesis of the problem. Now, we have a global problem because he does have a right to see this kid, right. And I don't know what he's going to do to this kid. He's a bad guy. That's shouldn't have been with him.
Find a way to have it all be very carefully supervised.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. David here from Disturbed, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David is here from Disturbed tonight. 10,000 Fists, name of the CD, out as we speak. And we'll hear something else off it sometime in this hour. Probably somewhere in the next 20 minutes or so. All right, Drew, you want to talk to Matt?
I do.
28. How to tell a new girlfriend that she has a bad body odor, smelly vagina. Oh. We got a good one for this.
Which
you
is it? Is it body?
But yeah, it's not fun to deal with. Just because I've been dating the girl about a month and a half. And, you know, we move along, progress, we get intimate. And the problem was is, you know, it's out in Vegas, so I guess there's some excuse. It's a little warm out here. But, you know, I noticed, like, under her arms, it was a little bit of an odor, but near, you know, obviously below her waist, it was even more pungent. And everything's great about this girl with that big exception. And you can imagine it's quite a hurdle to come over just because it's a massive turn-on. But other
is she
than that,
from another country or anything?
You know,
how dare you, Drew?
I'm just asking.
How dare you?
Well, you know, it's funny that he asked that because she's half Spanish, half Mexican.
I knew it.
No, I don't mean ethnicity. I mean the different culture, different word, you know, people.
Maybe they don't haven't invented soap. Or
they don't bathe every day.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? She's very Americanized, though. I mean, she grew up in the Southwest. And
We have multiple things to say about the funk.
Here's the thing about the funk. Okay, if you're just talking about body smell, it usually doesn't have that much to do with hygiene, and it's just what you got going. Like, a lot of people have bad breath, and it's not because they don't brush their teeth.
Right.
It's because they have bad breath.
Yeah, bacteria lives there, and that's that.
I know a lot of guys whose ass smells like ass.
Sure.
What the hell's your nose doing that? I want to know.
No, I mean, their gas is bad.
Yeah.
Bad times. And they don't eat the same thing for lunch as I do, and then they funk up the room.
Except when Jimmy eats that pasta fazool, then watch out.
When he eats that or the raw clams.
Oh.
He actually loaded up on raw clams once just because we're driving
Vegas.
To Vegas. Yeah, and he thought he was going to funk out the van.
But then he ran
on the way there.
His brother.
Oh. Let me tell you guys something. I'll tell you what that was like. That was like one of your buddies who was 6'2 and 220 pounds and the baddest ass on the block going in and trying out for an arena football team and just getting his ass handed to him, just getting his ass kicked. Like the scariest guy you knew, all of a sudden there's 280-pound guys that are just throwing him around like he's
your
scarecrow.
Yeah.
My dad, yeah. That's what that was. Jimmy and I were going to Vegas, and he announced he was going to fart up the van all the way to Vegas.
Jimmy was.
He made a bold proclamation.
And he's had a history of farting up vans.
He usually backs up what he puts up, you know.
Yeah.
And our buddy Big Tad's brother came along. We didn't know this guy, but for some reason we're all going to Vegas in a van. This is 10, 11 years ago, and Jimmy confidently leaned over and let the first salvo fly. And Big Tad's brother's like,
"Oh, really?
Oh, is it on?" I didn't know it was on. And I was like, "What do you mean? I don't know if it's on. I don't think it should be on." And 10 seconds later, something horrible this way came from Big Tad's brother's ass. And Jimmy tried to fire back with a jab, but just got cold cocked again. And it was that way all the way to Vegas now. Now in Big Tad, at a certain point, we're just begging. Now
everybody else laughing like hyenas, I'm sure.
No, now we're just begging for forgiveness. Well, I'm in the van, too. To light a match, we're going 70 every mile marker to light a match. Through Zizek's, through Baker.
Wait, who was driving? Can I imagine the driver rolled the windows up, turned the heat on?
Big Tad was behind the wheel. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but the point is he got schooled by a champion.
Yeah.
And the point is this guy obviously had some sort of enzyme that he was producing that could turn cotton candy into just putrid methane. Guy could turn stream water and a Pez into something that would take out a city block. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you have that, it's not what you eat. because we're eating the same thing the whole trip.
It's a genetic quality.
It's what you got.
It's what you is.
And that's so 90% of the time.
All right, that's for the body odor part for Matt's girlfriend. But the vaginal odor, we got something else to say about that.
Right. Go ahead.
So, Matt, the vaginal smell is usually a sign of infection.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Bacteria. And it's not necessarily an STD. It's just something called bacterial vaginosis or vaginitis. And it's something easily treated with a cream oftentimes. And what you should do, what we recommend, is you say, you know, I was listening to Loveline the other night, and they were talking about this woman with the infection, and I noticed you have some of the symptoms. Maybe we ought to get you to the doctor and get this taken care of. And it's simple to take care of.
Yeah.
And then buy her some perfume.
Well, I act concerned.
And then say, I'd love you to...
How do you do that?
Have you tried telling her?
No, that's the problem. And it's so early in the relationship that it's almost like to the point where you just want to walk the other way because... You know, if you've only known this person for a month and a half, how do you have that type of conversation?
Not only that, I've been, you know, we talked to a lot of people in this situation. It doesn't go well, even if you've been together 6 months.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that you are probably one of many guys that have probably thought exactly the same way you do with this girl. And somebody along the line has to tell her.
Yep.
And you need to be the guy with balls big enough to actually say to her, look, you know, I dig you, I'm into you, I want to be intimate with you, but you should know something. There's something wrong there.
Here's the other thing, too. You know, we always think, that's not going to go well. She's going to freak on. If a chick I was dating said, FYI, you got a little sack funk going on down there. why don't you hit the shower after you work out before we get into it? I would just backpedal. I'd be, it's been unseasonably hot. I've been under a lot of stress.
But for some people,
I had a whole clove of garlic yesterday. I'm in the shower as we speak. Sorry, sweetie. Like, I would be backpedaling and apologizing, not, how dare you?
For some people, it's just like telling them something between their teeth. It's nice, thank you.
Even if it is embarrassing, I mean, nobody would look forward to that. I wouldn't take the offense if, like, someone said, look, I hate to say it's uncomfortable, but you have a little scent going. I'd be like, no, you smell!
No, it's not like that.
I'd go take a shower, and I'd work a little extra harder.
If you dig the girl enough, and if there's enough of the good things going on, it'll survive it, and it's worth telling her, because once that goes away, then the hurdle's done, you know, and you can just unleash the fury.
Let me tell you, let me give you a audio reenactment of the Ace Man unleashing the fury. I wish that diva were mine. It'd be me unleashing the fury.
We've got David Alan Greer unleashing the fury.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should hear David Alan Greer when he's with the ladies. A passionate, passionate man.
Oh, God.
When he unleashes the fury, he goes all night.
Look at me. I will give you something to smile about.
That's what it's like. And he's on top of her, too. She can't move. I love it. Another one, David Alan Greer does a snore. You know, the only thing I like better than David Alan Greer and his lovemaking is when the night he converted Dr. Drew's morning after pills into black names.
Ethanyl estradiol,
ethanyl estradiol.
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Put that wiffle ball back down. Girl. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
I like the longer form version of that, Anderson. I like the part where he's picking him up from school and the part where he's yelling at him to get inside the Chevelle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let me hear it. Do you have that one,
No, that one, I don't know where that is.
Just play it. Come on.
No, I really don't know. I don't have it in the machine because it's too effing long.
Oh, it's too long for the machine?
I might be able to find it on the computer.
All right. Well, take a look around.
I got you your white lines, but all I could find was Duran Duran's version.
No.
Yes.
Travis?
Travis.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, Drew's white line
ruined it.
Did a few rounds to that song back in the day. Go ahead, Travis.
I'm at a point in my life going on.
Okay, there we go.
Right. Well, jury's proven right. Uh-huh. Hey, so he was addicted to online gambling and porn. He lost $20,000 last month. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to some other chick with a discharge problem. But turns out Travis dropped the F-bomb 7 seconds into the call.
Try it again?
Nope.
Ever? Or he's
no,
done. He's
you're done, Travis.
All right, so here's the deal. GA, go to 12-Step, Gamblers Anonymous. Check this out. Or SA, Sex Addicts Anonymous. You got to go somewhere because this is a serious problem. Possibly bipolar disorders associated with this, too. So if you want to see a psychiatrist, that's reasonable. But you better get this. You're 21. You better get this stuff together or it's going to be a really unhappy situation.
Let me just ask a hypothetical. How many times have you really heard the F word?
On the radio?
On commercial radio.
Personally, I hear it every night.
We hear it every night. But as some, when you're driving in your car, how often do you really hear the F word?
But
you know?
Travis's defense, he has no idea what the F is going on, so it's cool.
That's true.
What do you mean?
I know that's what
he said. All our callers that drop the F-bomb have no idea what the F is going on.
That's what he said, Drew.
That's what he said, Drew. That's the other thing, too. Like, it's one thing if someone is quoting somebody. Like, if you say, I kid you not, an LAPD officer pulled me over and said verbatim, get the F out of the car. Well, we still couldn't use it on the air, but there's an excuse for using the F-bomb.
Right.
You just sort of apropos to nothing. I don't know what the F is going on as a sort of a lead-in to your question. Probably unnecessary. And again, how often do you actually hear the F-bomb on the radio?
All right, let's regroup. I got 2 minutes from like 3 weeks ago show. Ready to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
A little David Allen Greer.
Or 2 milligrams of norethindrone.
Dave has a sister named norethindrone.
Yeah. Take a dose of that now and a dose 12 hours later. That's what you need. There can also be the 100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol,
It's
the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Norethindrone. Put that wiffle ball back down. Girl. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man. Norethindrone, what? What is it? Epinestrol.
Drew, what else? My dang name is Drew into the comedy.
Mifepristone. Mifepristone.
I'm here to pick up Mifepristone. Mifepristone. Mifepristone, Mephistopheles. If you don't get into this Dodge Comet at the count of three, I will wear your behind out. And get Aspiril, your sister, please.
Drew, what else you got?
Norgestrel.
Norgestrel. Norgestrel. Did you take my beer can? Norgestrel.
One more, Drew. Just one.
Well, norethindrone, that was the original one.
Got to be one more. Come on.
I'm fine to go.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Anything. It could be for high blood pressure.
Noliparous.
Noliparous. You are my oldest son. I have become... Noliparous, please. Bring your bicycle in the backyard. Street lights is on. Now, come on. Stop now. Stop. Stop playing.
David Allen Greer in studio tonight. I don't know why that tickled me so, but David Allen Greer when he does his Black Mother routine. I'll tell you. And anyone knows David Allen Greer knows he doesn't sound anything like that when you're just talking to him, but he slides into it very naturally.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
Roxanne? Roxanne?
Hi.
Here we are.
What's up?
I had a question. I've had, I get discharge, like clear discharge, constantly all through the day. And I've had it since, seventh grade. I'm 19.
Right. Well, there you go.
That's you?
That's just her. Are you overweight?
No.
Okay. Well, that's you.
Why? What would overweight be doing?
I just noticed that sometimes, I don't know that that's been documented, but in my patients, and there's sometimes a weight issue that can be that more discharge.
They told me it was, my doctor told me that some girls are just different. They get more or less.
That's correct. Some women really have a lot of it.
Hey, everyone, feel free to listen to your doctor.
Right.
Drew's a doctor as well, but not necessarily qualified to diagnose you over the radio than your doctor is
absolutely,
in real life.
And it's unlikely I'm going to disagree with something that someone who's actually examined you has said.
But there's nothing I can do about it. I like to change it.
No.
That's
you. That is you.
Well, what about? What, you have to wear a pad,
well,
a maxi
having
pad?
Said that, there is something you could do. You could
put
go
a
on.
Kitty litter down
sometimes
there?
Sometimes a progesterone-containing birth progesterone-containing birth control pills will dry things up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to go on like Depo-Provera or mini pills, that kind of thing.
Well, give it a try, right?
Sometimes that can do it.
If you start taking this, how long until it works or doesn't work? Like, what do you know? A couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you ought to try that, Roxanne. Is it a problem?
Yeah, well, for me, because I have to, like, constantly go and wipe myself, like, every couple hours.
Hmm.
Like, I'm just wet all the time.
Why don't you wear a pad?
Why don't you put a pad in?
Well,
I got a pad on now.
I mean, sometimes I wear tampons, and I have to change those sometimes because they're just, like, they don't fill up, but it's just uncomfortable because I can feel it wet.
Yeah. How about an external pad, like those small pads?
It's kind of embarrassing, too, because, like, if I'm wearing, like, let's say, like, a little liner, like a panty liner, or if I'm wearing a tampon, like, just not even when I'm on my period, like, if I'm going to, like, sleep with someone or something, it's like I have no excuse of why it's there.
Yeah, you guys don't notice it. Don't worry about it.
Guy thinks you're on your period.
Okay.
Listen, the guys are not asking questions. They're not interested. They just you take care of that. They're fine.
Yeah, you tell them, look, you know, sometimes you see those pans down on the garage floor. Doesn't necessarily mean you're leaking transmission fluid. You just put it down there
just
in case.
Keep the floor clean.
Yeah, that's all. All right, let's take a question for David. Sandy?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I'm 20 years old.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask David a question, if that's okay.
There you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi, David. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm great. All right. Well, first I want to tell you that the new CD is awesome. It's all I've listened to for the last couple months.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you, all your songs and the songs on this album, which one has, like, the most meaning to you, or which one are you, like, most proud of?
Probably two different questions, right?
Hmm.
Like, which one is your favorite, basically, your personal favorite?
It's really hard to say. They're kind of like children. You don't have a favorite child.
Oh, Drew has a favorite kid. He has three kids, and he hates two of them.
No, 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 that's not true.
Well, he doesn't tell me he likes one the most, but he says he hates the other two, so
right.
I'm just doing
that's
process
that's
of elimination. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, honestly, like, my whole...
Well, what song? Let me corner David here. If somebody said, "Look, we just need you to present. You got one song to play from this album, and we
from
need
the
you,
new record,
from the new one. We need you to push one. You can play any one you want, but we need one. What would you go with?"
Hmm. Man, that's tough. There are like three or four in my head.
Well, give Sandy the top three so she knows what you're into.
I would probably say
with what she's into.
I would probably say the title track, 10,000 Fists.
Okay.
I would probably say Deify. It's one of my favorite tracks on the record.
Deify? Okay.
And I would probably...
I love that song. But my personal favorite on that one
that's
is Overburdened.
That's the third.
Yours is Overburdened. Yeah, a lot of people are really getting into it. That's kind of like the power ballad on the record.
I love that song. Like, ever since the first time. And I just want to say one thing, especially about all your songs, they never get played out to me. I always love them. If anything, I love them more each time I hear them. And you are just, it blows my mind how amazing you are. So
thank you so much
for doing your music.
Oh, our pleasure.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah,
thanking you for doing your music.
Nice.
Yeah.
Get another band question.
All right. Well, let's hear a song.
All right.
Stop making noise with the jewel case. here's something from the Disturbed new CD, 10,000 Fists. I think we're playing Just Stop. Are we playing Just Stop? Right. I think that's the one we got.
That's a good one.
Just Stop.
Just drop the judgment and all of your pseudo-involvement in my life.
Disturbed. Yeah, sound like a nice hard out like that. Yeah. I don't know. Never know when to talk. Boom. David here from Disturbed. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David Draymond here tonight from Disturbed. 10,000 Fists. Name of the CD out as we speak. We have a question for David. Ed?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yes. Adam, can't wait for your show.
Oh.
Well, you just missed it. You're in L.A.? You missed it.
You already missed it.
Oh, did I? Oh, man. But, you know, I love Loveline, but there's nothing more that I love than Loveline is my Disturbed. David,
thanks,
congratulations
brother.
On that CD. That is awesome. That CD is wicked, man. That's
Thank
on every
you.
Rotation on my CD. Man,
oh,
I
cool.
love it. I missed you at the Roxy, but I drove all the way out to Ventura to see your show, and it was just wicked electricity show. That I want to know if you're going to come out with a new CD, live DVD, or a live CD, if I could play it on the CD player and maybe relive that moment. You know, it's just your show is just like it's poetry in motion, and I love it.
Thanks, brother. Well, we actually just did a live recording, two of them recently. One was at CBGB's in New York. We were, I think, possibly the last band to play there.
Really?
I'm not sure how much longer it's going to stay open.
Oh, that's right. It's historic CBGB's. Yeah. It's going away.
Yeah, we've been fighting, you know, a bunch of bands and a bunch of people have been fighting to keep it open. It's basically a political thing. It's not about money or anything else. They just don't want a, you know, a seedy little punk rock club in the neighborhood anymore.
Well, is it in the Village or where is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's right there.
I think I've seen it a few times, but why get rid of a landmark that way?
You know, it looks exactly the same as it did, you know, 20 years ago. Mm. And, you know, it's just got such great vibe to it, and I hope it doesn't go away. But we recorded that show live, and we just recorded our last show of this run that we just finished in Chicago as well. So we've got a bunch of live stuff.
So are you gonna release a live CD?
We'll probably release something live over the next year or two, and we're certainly going to release something DVD oriented to give you a little bit of behind the scenes stuff too.
Can't wait.
Hey, Ed,
am I ever gonna get to hear God of the Mind live?
I don't know, man. A lot of people ask for the B-sides, the obscure tracks. I think that we're actually probably gonna do at some point also an EP of all the B-sides. You know, just throw all the stuff together that people haven't heard for a while. And I would love to be able to incorporate that into a tour, so I'll definitely bring that up to the rest of the guys.
He means he'll just tell them that's what we're doing.
Hey,
Ed,
yes.
Quiet down. Here's the good news. The good news is Disturbed is going to come out with a live CD, and my show repeats at 1 a.m. on TLC.
Oh,
so you can stay up for another hour and a half, and you can watch my show, and then you can go down to the Tower Sunset and just wait there until a shipment comes in of live Disturbed music. Yes, Drew?
Perfect.
All right. Drew, what's going on with these phone lines?
I don't know.
You want to try going
try
to?
Try three, yeah.
Yeah? Caller?
Yes.
What's your name?
Patrick.
Patrick, what's up? How old are you?
29.
Wow.
basically for the past year, actually it's been going on since I was a teenager. I've been losing my concentration a lot at work.
I think it may have just happened a second ago.
I have a lot of mood swings. I mean, I'll be depressed, you know, one minute. I'll be flying off the roof, you know.
What do you do for work?
I'm a welder.
Uh-oh. That's trouble. That's trouble. What kind of welding do you do?
I build locomotives.
Wow.
Might save yourself. Industrial stuff.
Interesting.
Heavy duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not muffler shop, biker,
right.
White trash, meth head.
Nor
welder.
Is he even building bridges or anything. It's something. Yeah. It's more of you know.
Who needs design. A locomotive these days? Where are you working?
In Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay. And were you building the electric ones?
Yes. The hybrids.
Yeah. A lot of folks don't know the diesel ones are really electric engines. The diesel just powers the generator.
Oh, interesting.
It doesn't power the wheels.
Right, right.
Yeah. More torque in the electric motor.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Yeah, this is why electric cars are going to work. You know, people think, what do you go, 0 to 60 in 100 years? No, they move. They work. Am I right?
Yep.
Oh, he's very excited.
Talk about a ringing endorsement. This kid is excited about my locomotive now.
Well, I have something else to say also.
All right.
I was a heavy marijuana smoker whenever I was a teenager. I mean, it was like an everyday thing. And it went on until I was 26 years old, and I moved out. I was originally from Ohio, and I moved out here to Idaho. I got away from everybody, got away from everything. I got married, and, you know, I just left it there in Ohio. Well, I have replaced that with alcohol.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing about that marijuana addiction, it has a particular allure for kids with ADD.
Okay.
That there's some speculation that does help regulate those symptoms,
mm-hmm.
in addition to causing a powerful opiate response in some people.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the next only way day, when you're sober, you're just out of control. You know, then you want more and more. It's just a never-ending cycle.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that, though. You also have addiction on top of that regulation, so... So you're an alcoholic cannabis addict, and that needs to be dealt with.
Got insurance, right?
And basically, Richard, what's his name?
Patrick.
Patrick. Every alcoholic addict has ADD.
Okay.
It's just part of the syndrome. They really a question of degree, how severe is it? And you really can't know until you get sober in the program.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, 6 months down the road, once you do the process of treatment and all, see what kind of symptoms you have, then it's a different story.
Anyway, Patrick.
Yeah.
You a MIG or TIG man?
MIG.
All right.
The difference?
I don't know.
Really?
There's TIG welders. There's MIG welders. There's a bunch of different kinds of welders.
Is there kind of gas in the thing? Or?
Welding's a science, baby. Okay. I mean, you can think about taking metals and bonding them together, especially if you're building like aircraft or something. That S can't break.
I was watching another of our shows on the Hitler Channel. And they were talking about the ships that the welding became first used on ships during World War II.
Yeah.
And they didn't really understand what it meant, what the strengths were, and the ships would break in half because they didn't understand the full strength of the welded side.
Yeah. One of those Liberty ships that were cranked out would bust in half, those big troop carriers. I'll tell you, you know what a tough gig was? And it's one of these things, like, here's what you don't want in life. You either want the danger and the poontang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The glory in the poontang,
mm-hmm.
or I'm saying though, but with the glory comes the possibility of danger.
Yes.
Or you want to be in the rear with the gear and none of the poontang, but fine. At least you ain't getting shot at.
Right.
The tough gig in the war in World War II is like merchant marine.
Yeah.
Because more of those guys died sort of per capita than any other branch of the military.
Is that right?
Yes. You see, you don't know and you don't care. Didn't translate. No, nobody was, no French ladies throwing their vaginas on these guys when they liberate France or anything. They just were dying by the dozens and no one really cared. They're just out in these convoys in the middle of the North Atlantic just getting torpedoed and going down to David Jones' locker, deep sixing them.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Jeez. And nothing. Nobody cares. It's like, oh, my dad flew in the battle. He was in the Battle of Boulder. He was on Normandy or whatever. My dad was a merchant marine. Oh, who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you do, stack a few pallets?
Right.
You didn't even have a gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Saying bad times. Talk to Jessica?
Yeah. No, Todd.
Todd, I don't want to talk to another dude. Her boyfriend masturbates in front of him. All right, I'll talk to Todd. Todd?
Yes?
You're 34?
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend seems to have a problem with, like, messing around with me, but he seems can, like, masturbate to a porno.
All right. So he can't have an erection with you, or he can't orgasm?
No,
what?
He says he's not, you know, I'm like, I can do it every night. It's not a problem with me. But he says
he can do what?
He can have sex every night. You're gay, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
You're gay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it.
You're gay.
Thank you.
I can do it whenever. Yes. However, he says he's not always feeling it, or he's not wanting it, and everything
you're gay.
Like that.
How often does he want it?
Huh?
How often does he want it?
If it was up to him, it would be maybe once every other week.
You a Mormon?
Ooh.
Am I Mormon or him?
No, okay. Stop it,
Mormon?
Anderson. Look, every other week, he wants it twice a month.
Correct.
And
it's a little light.
You're ready to go every day.
Yeah.
Correct.
And how long have you two been together?
I want to say about 3 months.
And that's a little low for 3 months into it. And you say And you say he chronically masturbates?
Yeah, he can. I'm sorry. He can masturbate to like a porno. Like, you know, we can lay beside each other and we can watch a porno and masturbate. But when I ask him, like, hey, come on, let's go and do it, he's like, I'm not really wanting to do it and everything like that. So I'm thinking this is a problem
and
with
and
me.
Do it. What does do it mean for you?
Like,
your anal sex or oral sex?
Yeah,
what does it
mean? the whole intimacy with each other instead of beside each other.
But what is that?
What does it mean for you guys, you two?
Like, is it, like anal, yeah.
Anal sex, okay.
Yeah.
And is he the top?
Yeah, we're versatile. I mean, okay. I'm either way.
I like versatility.
Is the porn they watch, is it gay or straight?
Mostly gay. We can do straight, though.
Yeah. Well, any penis in a storm. Here's the thing, Todd. You guys only being together for 3 months and him wanting to do this but not wanting to do you is a little disturbing. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he wasn't abused or there's something up with him. Whatever it is, this doesn't seem like it's going a long time. First off, I tell this to all my listeners, do not get pregnant. Do you understand me, Todd?
I'm a big you have that to worry about.
All right, I'm just saying, I've seen stranger things happen. Todd, what's going on with you? What's going on with your life? You doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, everything is going on. I mean, work sucks, but, I mean, you know.
Where do you live?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
What are you doing for work?
I work for a company called Western Medical. We do DME, durable medical equipment.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. But look, everyone hates their job.
Yeah, of course. So, but, I mean, we all have to do it.
Todd, I'm just wondering if you're 3 months into a relationship with a man, especially, and you're having to kind of talk him into getting it on.
Exactly.
That's not a great sign.
And it really, the possibilities are fairly protean. You know, it could be he's carrying on with other people. It could be he's compulsively masturbating. It could be...
Gay guy getting it on with other guys is getting it on with you, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like we're going to masturbate
and then
watch porn.
Sort of on the compulsive end, and maybe that freaks his boyfriend out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the deal. I don't know. I don't know if a gay couple's any different than a straight couple. I do know if you have kids, I'll make an argument to stay together. If you don't have any kids,
and you're not sexually compatible,
you're less than 6 months in, it's just cut bait.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's take a little break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. David here from Disturbed. Name of the CD, 10,000 Fists, out as we speak. Wife won't go on bleeding month. Gets bad heartburn, stomach pains, worry about getting ulcers.
Oh.
Drew, how do you know what heartburn is? How do you know when you're having heartburn?
It feels like something's... You know how you can feel food when you swallow going down your esophagus?
Yeah.
Imagine that now burning. that area as it descends down your chest.
I've got
burning like fire.
Really got that?
I got really bad reflux, 2 ulcers. I've had an endoscopic cinch done because the...
Whoa.
What's the cinch?
Yeah, basically the valve at the top of my stomach had completely herniated away, and they needed to rebuild the valve.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it herniated away from...
It just gets loose. It gets patchless. And then it moves above the diaphragm.
And is that why they say, like, you should sleep on an incline?
That's what he has to do. And when the valve isn't working, you've got to use gravity to keep the stuff in your
stomach.
Keep
stuff down. Otherwise, the acid and whatever starts coming up.
Right.
Burned my vocal cords first
all the
record.
Way up. Wow, my goodness.
Wow.
Which is what happens. It's a cause of sleep apnea and wheezing and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Bad times.
Yeah, but you're young for all that.
Yeah.
They got good stuff for now, though, right?
Yeah, but this is what you have to go through. You have to use the proton pump inhibitors like Protonix or Nexium or Prilosec.
What can't you eat, David? Is there something good
I can eat everything now after the surgery, and I take Prevacid pretty regularly.
And is that just an inherited thing?
Well, I did plenty of damage to myself to...
What were you doing?
Oh, just a lot of drinking. And
there's an inherited component, but you can bring it along.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, so you're like anything. You had a gift, like an athletic gift, but you got to go train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of like that, but you just your training table's just
it's
a
like
bar.
You and your dad's arms.
Yeah.
A gift. A mitzvah.
Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
29.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I love you guys. Listen, my wife's turning 35 tomorrow, and this is kind of odd, but she's having irregular cycles, I guess. A slow month for her would be 3 cycles a month. This has been occurring for 2 months now. And
just don't mistake intermittent bleeding with another menstrual period. She's just having irregular bleeding.
How do you know? Who's keeping track of this?
She tells me. She tells me. Like tonight,
is she on the birth control pill?
No, we got off the birth control pill about 3 years ago.
She's not on Depo?
No, no shots, no...
Any medication?
Let me just chime in here. I'm disturbed when I hear people say we're pregnant, when I hear guys say that.
When we're menstruating.
We're off the birth control pill. It's raised that to a new level. Yeah. I find it a little obnoxious when guys refer to their team as we. You know, I hang out with a bunch of New England guys, and it's always like, when they're talking about the Pats, like, well, we just got to get Brady more protection, because we got to open up the ground game, and we got to start it. We got to get some inside backers. I mean, it's like we, and I always think, well, please, you're not on the team. But that pales in comparison to, we got to get off the birth control pill.
Yeah.
That's a little too involved. Yeah, Mike, what's up? We don't trust you now.
We've tried to conceive a child in the past. Last year, she lost it, obviously, before the thing was born. Which was
we lost it, sorry.
Yeah.
But we. Yes. Go ahead.
It's been tough on her. I'm just wondering what this could be. You know,
is she on any medication?
No medications, nothing.
Does she drink a little bit?
She drinks champagne every now
and then. Yeah, Mike is a severe codependent to an alcoholic.
Mike, what are you, male nurse?
No, I'm a firefighter.
I knew it!
Service industry, though.
Yeah,
was your mom or dad an alcoholic?
My dad was.
You found a new project.
Think she's an alcoholic?
Oh yeah.
Why? Couldn't that vibe?
Well, first of all, his dad was an alcoholic, so.
Well, he's attracted to alcohol,
and he's severely codependent and meshed with her, and that's more often than not, that's usually an alcoholic you pick for that.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, should I worry about any type of medical problems with her?
Doesn't hear you when you're talking either.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You say she drinks some champagne.
Right.
How often?
Oh, maybe once or twice a week. If that.
That's it. That's a weird thing to drink once or twice a week. Yeah.
She's been going through a lot of trauma also. Her mom and dad just recently split up, and her mom and her are not on speaking terms right now.
So how often does she drink now that she's stressed out?
Oh, just 1 to 2 times a week, if that. Mm. I work the third shift, so it's kind of hard to know how many drinks she has in a week.
She's drinking every night, Mike. I'll guarantee you that.
Drew smells alcoholism.
I guarantee it. And that's one of the ways you can get irregular menses is with alcohol use.
That's what happened to me.
You can certainly get ovarian cyst, endometriosis.
Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to?
Part of aging, perimenopause, hypothalamic pituitary axis dysfunction. none of which are serious, except for the alcoholism.
Right.
Irregular menstrual period is just a very, very common and usually benign thing that may or may not need treatment.
Mike.
It can have certainly an impact on fertility, and so the guys are trying to get pregnant, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Mike, you guys have a Dalmatian over there at the firehouse?
No, we have a station dog, which is a Rottweiler, who hangs with us on all the calls. So.
Yeah, what happened to the Dalmatian at the firehouse, huh? I grew up thinking you had to, like, if you got a firehouse, you got a Dalmatian, you know?
Dalmatians are a pain in the ass. That's what happened to
them. They're horrible dogs, but somehow they hung out at fire stations.
I recommend you switch to Australian Shepherds. That's a great dog.
Drew has one.
They are amazing dogs.
They're weird. They creep me out.
Why? Oh, the blue eyes and stuff?
I don't like the blue eyes.
The brown eyes one. You get it, one looks like a border collie.
I got you beat. I got an Akita.
Akitas, Akitas are scary.
They're nice dogs.
They bite kids and stuff.
Nice.
No,
Akitas are nice.
I like Akita. Yeah, I was thinking of a Chow.
Oh,
that's a different
Akita looks like a small Chow. Akita's that is a beautiful dog. Head. Big old melon head. Mm-hmm. I'd get myself a big male Akita with a big box head and just get it fat. You know?
They can get to be about 150 pounds.
I'd like to get mine up by 180. That's what we could do. And people are like, it's bad for the dog. They're going to die early. So we'll grab another one.
What's the one they
meanwhile,
bred to...
they're eating, I'm enjoying.
They
you
bred
know?
One to fight lions. Is it Akita?
No, that was... That's a Rhodesian.
Ridgeback?
The Ridgeback, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Akita, that's a good dog.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Remember the guy James called us eight, 9 years ago? Who
having sex with his
having
Akita?
Having sex with Akita Collie mix.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's tough for dog owners.
Not a collie we'll soon forget.
Yeah. Especially when they own your breed, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. He had trained the dog to have sex with him.
It makes it easier. It makes it easier.
A little peanut butter action or something going on?
No.
He was being penetrated by the
wasn't
dog.
Wasn't using his mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad, but, you know, there are worse gigs for a dog, as I've said many times. Like, you know, mushing. It's a bad gig. Pull some fat lesbian across the tundra for 1,600 miles. That's a tough gig. Airport dogs, no, you know, sniffing out bombs.
They're having fun. The
they
going
think
on.
They're having fun, but they're really sniffing explosives. You know, I mean, dangerous gig for a dog. Like, you wouldn't let your brother just go sniff explosives for even if he thought he was enjoying himself. Yeah, he'd be like, look, he's retarded. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to get hurt. You know what I mean? Yeah, they got the border dog. You know what you don't want? You don't want to be a cop dog. That one where they send you in. Mm. It's like, listen, Prince, get in there and flush that junkie out of the sub flooring of this house in Watts. Next thing you know, there's a gunshot going off, and you hear the dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'd just rather bang my owner once in a while.
Yeah. Got a point.
Sure, you're the laughing stock of the dog world, but still.
Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now? Yeah.
Laughing time is over.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't know how you train a dog to do that either. But that's a guy you'd want as your dog trainer. Now, I'm not saying you'd want him to train your dog to do that, but if you could train a dog to do that, then just not scratching at the front door when the mailman came would pale in comparison. It wouldn't be a tall order. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You figure, it'd be like, look, if this is a triple gainer, you got to train my dog, just do a little somersault on the mat. We're cool.
Perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See if you can get this guy to train your dogs.
Well, let's go take a break. Let's do that.
All right. So you can get him on the blower.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
Laughing time is over.
Yeah. What is this song from? Is it what commercials this in? I think it's in something.
If you say so.
I guess some car driving through a countryside or something.
Yeah.
Their songs are like in every other commercial. Now.
Yeah.
Whose song is it?
Death Cab. Death Cab for Lauren.
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren.
The cutie, yeah.
Death Cab for Lauren, yes.
Loves Lauren, yeah. All right, we're going to...
Did they come up here?
Yeah, they were in here.
That's right.
All right. All right, Dave.
No, they have never been up
here. My pleasure.
They never been up here? Lauren says they've been up here.
They're coming.
No, they haven't.
They're coming.
Oh, they're coming. Oh, All right. Well, then we'll see them. When are they coming? All right, I'm
Disturbed in here tonight, though. That's all I got.
Yeah. Everyone, if you haven't, although it sounds like everyone has already, go out and get 10,000 Fists, latest offering from Disturbed. David, it's good to see you again.
You as well.
We will take a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.